This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Mark Blaxwell joins me on the long line. He is one of the member of the board of directors at safeminds.org and the father of a child diagnosed with autism. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks, Coy. How are you?
Very, very good. We have a lot we want to talk about. Let's get first to some of the things that we couldn't get to the last time we spoke, and that was regarding some of the most recent research that you found particularly intriguing that may not have gone very widely covered by the media.
Right. Well, there is a study that has just been released in the journal called Neurotoxicology, which examines the effect on in an animal model, a primate model, of a single mercury-containing vaccine on infant monkeys. And the results are pretty interesting and a reflection of a pretty important research program that's ongoing.
And what does it mean exactly, this research?
Well, I think one of the things that goes on in all of this debate about what's driving the increases in autism and what role that, if any, the vaccines or mercury might play. There's a lot of work done, a lot of sloppy work done on epidemiology, where people are looking at large populations of people using large data sets, and there's an argument going on, really, almost an adversarial argument, a courtroom-based argument, with defendants' lawyers on the one side with a whole bunch of studies and plaintiffs' lawyers on the other side with a whole bunch of studies, and not surprisingly, the epidemiology studies disagree with each other. And what some of us have argued for a long time is that if you want to understand whether or not, an exposure, a medical procedure like a vaccination in an infant, whether that exposure is safe or not safe, the best way to do that kind of work is not necessarily through epidemiology, where study designs can bias what you get out at the end, but to do that in animal models and actually look through directly at the biology of the medical procedure and see what happens. And that's what this study does. It takes our closest human relatives, primates, in this case macaque monkeys. And the larger research program is looking at the effect of the vaccination program, the childhood immunization program, on monkeys, and comparing vaccinated monkeys to unvaccinated monkeys to see what the outcomes are.
We're talking with Mark Blaxwell of safeminds.org, and this is really important because a lot of people who may not be close to this information or have autism in the family, they just glance at the headlines occasionally. They know there's an epidemic going on. They don't really understand it. They know kids are getting sick. More and more kids are being diagnosed. And it's important to underscore the fact that the majority of some of the research that's been reported has mostly been epidemiological studies, which isn't really science. It's more sociology. It's, looking at the numbers, population studies. And granted, there's a place for that, and that can be valuable if the right questions are asked and if it's framed properly. But the kind of research you really want done is what actually happens to organisms when you inject them with shot after shot after shot.
Right. Well, and actually, I would mention one thing on epidemiology, Coy, which is that if you did the most simple and straightforward studies, they actually could be valuable. And one of the studies that many of us have argued for is a simple study looking at unvaccinated populations of children, looking at the total health outcomes in an unvaccinated population, and comparing that to a vaccinated population. Most of the studies that we've seen so far reflect populations with different degrees and different kinds of exposure, different timing, different individual vaccines that may or may not have been administered at various points. And so the simplest study has not been done. For example, looking at homeschool children whose parents conscientiously choose not to vaccinate their children, or the Amish who for religious reasons follow a different pattern of life. No one has ever done those kinds of epidemiology studies, even though many of us have argued for a long time that that's the kind of human population work that should be done. But really, but even in those populations, you couldn't take the children and then, you know, look at their biology and, you know, with the kind of precision that you can in an animal model.
Yeah, yeah, that's and that's a very valid point, and I totally concur that is those are the, if we're going to do epidemiology, let's do that one.
Yes.
And they haven't done it yet. The government refuses.
There are some valid epidemiology studies that can be done.
Yeah,
and there's evidence that you can draw from them, but they have become controversial, and the evidence, you know, for anyone who, you know, who looks at it dispassionately is mixed. There's evidence on both sides of the debate, as much as many would like to nullify one side or the other. But the monkey studies are very, very precise, very rigorously controlled, and much, much harder to argue with. And this work that is just coming out, actually about a year and a half ago, the first public results of this program were reported at a conference, and you know, the conference presentation can give you some idea of the ambition of this. And basically, the conference presentation reported a vaccinated versus unvaccinated monkey study. That's what this research is. And the initial results, the preliminary results, showed very, very strong differences in outcomes between vaccinated monkeys and unvaccinated monkeys. And not surprisingly, the unvaccinated monkeys were significantly delayed developmentally and had many biological, neurological problems that were, you know, that were detected, you know, in the experimental work.
So the vaccinated monkeys were much sicker.
They were sick monkeys, yes, quite literally. One of them died, actually. One of the vaccinated monkeys died in the course of the process, and so they were able to dissect the monkey, you know, and do an autopsy on it. And what was fascinating about that experience was that this monkey had horrible gastrointestinal inflammation, which is something that many children with autism present with as well. But most immediately, there was a study, the first published study, and peer review and publication is an important hurdle in the scientific literature. While a lot of pharmaceutical companies pharmaceutical studies have been criticized for being biased and getting through peer review, actually, something that's controversial like this is a very difficult thing to get through a peer review process, because the peer reviewers are ultimately the scientists or the medical doctors who are, you know, resisting this idea in the first place. So this is the first published peer-reviewed version of or output of this research program, and it takes just a piece of it. It looks only at the hepatitis B vaccine, a birth dose of a thimerosal-containing hepatitis B vaccine, and looks at the results in newborn monkeys, between monkeys that get that vaccine, the Hep B with mercury, and monkeys that either get a saline shot or no vaccination at all. And the results are very strong and compelling.
We're talking with Mark Blaxall. He's the editor-at-large at theageofautism.com, online at ageofautism.com. He's also on the board at safeminds.org. You can read his work online about this and other subjects dealing with the very latest on autism at ageofautism.com. Mark, so this is absolutely huge. I mean, this is very, very important research that that people should be talking about, that they're finally studying the effect of vaccines on primates, and lo and behold, the monkeys that get the vaccines that we're giving our kids get really sick, and they have lots of problems.
Well, and what's fascinating about this work, and it's one of these things, I would urge, Coy, your readers to go to Age of Autism and read the essay I wrote. If they're interested, I wrote a thorough discussion of this paper and what it means and the research program involved, and it's a much more in-depth treatment than we can do in this show. But one of the things that was interesting in the blog feedback that we got is the basic finding that you can get observing the infant, the newborns, after 2 weeks of birth, 2 weeks of life, is just their very early development. And the only thing that you can really measure in a window of the first 2 weeks of life in a monkey is very basic reflexes, hand-eye coordination, or eye following objects, and feeding behaviors. And there are a series of things that they call a test that they designed to measure what they call survival reflexes, which are basically will an infant monkey take the breast and respond to the brushing on its cheek or brushing on its forehead? Will it clamp down and suck the nipple of its mother to get nourishment? Basic survival instincts. And these were of all the testing that the researchers did, what they found was delayed significantly in these infant monkeys with the hepatitis B vaccine was just these survival reflexes, that the monkeys that were exposed to the vaccines and to the mercury took significantly longer to respond to these basic reflexes. One of the things that was fascinating that we heard from our audience when we shared this was that how common mothers reported this experience in their autistic children. And in fact, it sparked a thought that a colleague of mine and I had, and we realized that in the very first paper written by Lee O'Connor, who talked about the first cases of autism, the first 11 cases ever described of autism, three out of those 11, in three of those cases, the parents reported difficulties nursing, that the child didn't take the breast. So this very same reflex that we're seeing impaired in vaccinated monkeys is quite similar in the early experience of children with autism.
Amazing. We're talking with Mark Blaxall. He's the editor-at-large at ageofautism.com. Mark, before we let you go, I wanted to see if you would comment at all on the news breaking this week out of a Philadelphia newspaper that Dr. Diane Harper, who was the lead researcher in the development of the Gardasil and Cervarix vaccines, that she's now come out and said some pretty amazing things regarding the research and safety of this stuff.
Well, Diane Harper has been saying this, you know, for those who follow the issues of vaccine safety and the degree to which we're putting our foot to the accelerator when we should be reaching for the brakes. Diane Harper has been a voice of rationality and a voice for safety for a while. She was deeply involved in the clinical trials for the human papillomavirus vaccine that we now call Gardasil, and for a long time she's been critical of the marketing, of the rollout, the lack of concern over safety. And so apparently just recently, as you saw, Coy, she gave a presentation to a large group of medical researchers, which was just a scientific presentation, and there are just a number of choice quotes in there, things like, you know, the rate of adverse events, of serious adverse events with Gardasil outnumbers the number of deaths from cervical cancer, which makes you wonder, well, you know, why are we doing this if the whole purpose of the Gardasil vaccine is to prevent cervical cancer? If the cases of cervical cancer are so small and the adverse events from the vaccine are so great, explain why the cost benefit here is makes any sense.
Yeah, why did places like Virginia, of which I am ashamed to say, places like my own state that I love, rush forward and pass a law saying you got to inject your daughters with this crap?
Gardasil is a particular example of the commercial vaccine industry going over the top and developing and pushing a product with relatively unexplored safety issues, and we're recommending this and mandating it for populations where the safety has and efficacy have been very poorly tested. But the profit of this vaccine is extraordinary. It's gone from zero to hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for Merck in a very short period of time.
And that's what this is about.
I think we have to ask that question.
Mark Blaxall, read his work online at ageofautism.com, where he is the editor-at-large. He's also with safeminds.org. Mark, thank you so much for your time. I've enjoyed it. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.